Hi, this is Michelle Anderson, and I am here with Lynn Williams at the Borders Bookstore in Bangor in their restaurant. Lynn is going to run on the green ticket for Maine's governor, and we're here today to see what exactly she has to say. Hi, Lynn, how are you?
Good, Michelle. How are you?
I'm just great. I'm great. So let me ask you my first question.
Yes.
Why would I want to vote for Lynn Williams?
Well, I present a, I think, a different model of a candidate. I'm an outsider and proud of it. I'm not part of the power structure of the state, whether that's Republican or Democratic. I'm not part of the corporate power structure. What I've done for many, many years in my legal practice is represent individuals and small community groups, and most of them are fighting the power structure. I represent people who are fighting huge industrial wind projects. I represent people who are fighting our importation of out-of-state waste into Maine. I represent people who are fighting water mining in their towns, where Nestle wants to deplete their aquifers. And I, for many years, represented young women who unfortunately had gotten themselves caught up in the DHHS system in terms of neglect. I didn't take the big scary child sexual abuse cases, but I developed sort of a subspecialty with young women who had some mental illness and other issues. I am, in addition to being an attorney, I'm a psychologist. I have a doctorate in psychology. So the clerks were hip to that and would refer certain cases to me. It's very, very frustrating and very scary when people get caught up in any of these systems in this state. And I guess unlike what one might consider a traditional liberal, I am as suspicious as big government as I am suspicious of big corporations. I sort of put them in many ways in the same. We're powerful, we're big and we're powerful, and we can do whatever we want to the little person. I think that appeals to people as I go around the state.
Okay. Well, what is your stance on windmills?
I support wind power as one of a number of sources of power. I think what we have to look at when we're talking about a potential project is who benefits from the project. The islands, Vinyl Haven, North Haven, and now Monhegan and Matinicus, are looking very closely at, and Vinyl Haven and North Haven have already started the project, community-based wind power. These are going to be turbines that are maybe 100, 120 feet high. These will supply all the power for the households, summer households and year-round households on the islands. They pay a lot more than we do because it has to be shipped off land. And they will even probably produce more than they need. They will be metered with Central Maine Power, and they will get credits for the extra energy that they're producing. So they can theoretically produce energy for their community as well as for the rest of Maine. I think this is fabulous. The communities came to consensus on this at town meeting. I mean, really, the Vinyl Haven town meeting, I think, was 240-2. That, for Maine,
town meeting is really consensus.
And that's wonderful because the people own that and the people benefit from it. Contrast this to Lincoln, where 42 400-foot high turbines will be installed on two ridgelines close to Eagle's Nest, right on the water where people have camps, and many of those people rent their camps and make money in the summer, and they're going to be having these huge industrial wind turbines. So I differ in terms of my opinion depending on the scale and really depending on whether it benefits the community or some out-of-state corporation. And all the power from Lincoln as well as Stetson 1, Stetson 2, and Mars Hill is being shipped out of state. None of that is going to Maine people.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What do you think of coal? Clean coal?
I don't believe, no one has yet persuaded me that clean coal exists. I'm not going to say I'm a geologist and that I could read technical papers, but I did see a film at the Green Convention about the coal companies blowing the mountaintops off. So we have their Cadillac Mountain, and all of a sudden it's Mesa Verde, you know. And people were talking about, again, let's look at these communities. There were women who were fighting this, never been active before. One woman bought her house for $142,000. It was recently appraised at $12,000 because of the activities of the coal companies. So I'm certainly against traditional coal, and I'm not yet convinced that clean coal works. I did see, along the line of energy, a presentation that was really interesting of a gentleman who is a physicist and a geologist and a businessman too, a real overachiever, who is working on a process of converting solar energy. And the problem with solar is storage. Mm-hmm. Converting solar energy into hydrogen, which can then be stored in hydrogen fuel cells. And he's created, conceptually, a whole transportation system where the downtown trolleys have solar on top and the bus stations have solar on top and the storage issue is resolved. So he's working on that. I think there's a lot of potential in that.
One more energy question, then we'll move on. What about nuclear power?
Nuclear? as far as I know, plutonium is still forever. And until the storage problem is resolved, and even if it was theoretically to be Yucca Mountain, there's still the transportation problem across the country. And I don't want depleted uranium rods being transported through the communities.
Let me move on up to northern Maine real quick. You're somewhat familiar with the issues up there. You are familiar?
Yeah.
Do you have any opinions on LIRC?
On LIRC as a body?
Yes.
I had an extensive experience with LIRC over the last year. I represented two environmental groups, along with another attorney, in the Plum Creek hearing. So I became very close to LIRC in terms of spending 4 weeks in front of them. I'm not quite sure. Are you referring to, do you think that they do a good job in terms of regulating land use in the unincorporated territories?
Yeah, the issue in northern Maine right now seems to be more that LIRC doesn't allow a lot of things that really residents think should be allowed. For instance, there's the infamous story of the guy who moved the rock and was fined thousands of dollars, that sort of thing. There's also a move, and I believe there's actually a bill in the legislature this last year to move towards a county form of government in order to sort of eliminate LIRC or at least some of its power. Yeah.
The problem I have with LIRC, now that you've clarified your question, the problem I have with LIRC is that as a body, it regulates a huge area. What we see, I'm on the planning board of Bar Harbor, and I represent folks in front of many boards of appeals throughout the state. Even if I disagree with them, at least they're familiar with the land and what they're regulating. They may disagree with the appellant or with the applicant, but at least they've seen it. You know, on the Bar Harbor Planning Board, we go out. Every project that comes before us, we make a site visit, and we really see what's going on there, and we're looking at streams and all this sort of stuff. We don't have to rely on experts coming in and giving us technical reports. LIRC does. It became very aware to very apparent during the Plum Creek hearings that they were relying almost totally on the applicants' experts and the reports they prepared. You know, they did a flyover, and some of them are from the unincorporated territories, but they're from their own, you know, places, townships. I think it would be fruitful to look at more localized regulation of the unincorporated territories of some sort. Whether that be county, it may in fact be county. You know, counties are not given very much to do in this state.
No, they're not. They have
the jails, and they have probate, and the registry of deeds. And the governor even tried to snatch the registry of deeds away. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. What about school consolidation?
I am vehemently against forced consolidation. I'm not against consolidation of some level if the districts choose to do that. I know Greenville and Jackman were already working on, Dick Gould told me, were already working on administrative consolidation and purchasing consolidation. And then all of a sudden they're forced into this one-size-fits-all mandate that does not at all impact our urban areas because they're big enough to not consolidate. We even, and I have to say, I saw this firsthand, we consolidated years ago for so we would have a funding formula for our high school, and we have one superintendent for four towns and three islands. And we were told to bring more towns in, as if this, so it wasn't really just, oh, we have too many superintendents. There was some sort of, you know, the administration bought into this thing, and by gosh, they're going to force everyone to do it. We had to work really hard to even get that penalty thing extended. That was going to be horrible. And then, of course, Washington County, they're just ignoring it. So they're like, we're not going to do this. Then there's a district now in Piscataquis and Aroostook that's larger than Rhode Island. So you have kids being transported all over the place. It was a very poorly thought out plan, and I think they dug their heels in when they shouldn't have. And I'm hoping we can repeal it.
Okay. Then I take it you're a proponent of home rule?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I fought with clients and community groups a number of bills. One would have taken authority to site industrial wind projects away from all towns. Another one would have taken the power to site water mining or to permit water mining in towns. There were tons of bills that were that came under the broad rubric of home rule.
Let's move on to the economy. It's a bad subject no matter where you are, but Northern Maine's been going through it probably a little longer than the rest of the country. We're looking at people who are working two, three jobs and still barely making it. The collapse of businesses in numerous towns. Do you have any sort of ideas of what you might do about the economy?
A few things, and actually maybe you can clarify this for me. I read in the paper about a month ago that Millinocket, which you mentioned, do they have this venture capital fund that they loan to businesses to expand, or was that just a puff piece that doesn't really do anything?
You are making my blood pressure rise.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Millinocket has a revolving fund loan. Mm-hmm. A CDBG grant was granted to the municipality some years back, and the money that was left over to that from that was put into a fund, and that goes, it's in theory, it goes to gap financing to local businesses. There's a huge controversy right now, and I don't know if it showed that in the Bangor Daily piece. You go to the town, you say, I need X amount of money for display. We've got the latest guy wants some displays built. And the town counselors pretty much give it to people lately. And overall, they've had a really large success rate. Of late, they've had a very bad success rate, partially because of the economy. I mean, you go in, you think you've got the money, and your business collapses. There have been at least two that were just bad character issues. And this latest one, there's they have $600,000 in debt. They have seven liens. They didn't mention the liens when they first went before the council, so there's a huge controversy. But that's
implementation of it. So there are implementation issues. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the idea was it's a set amount of money, and it sits there and it collects interest when it's being used properly. So
the idea, the concept is appealing to me because I see us bending over backwards, having welcome mats out for big corporations who are, I mean, it's like the NFL draft or something. They're going to various states to see where they can get the best deal. And we're trying to recruit them with the TIFs and the pine tree zones and the other tax breaks. And then, their loyalty isn't to the state. I was in Rockland when MBNA came. Oh, and they were the savior. They paid. They didn't like the roads. There were too many potholes. They paid. We had nice roads. They did the library over. They did all this stuff. And then when they left, you know, we had warned the council not to count on this forever. When they left, Rockland was hard-pressed to take care of its roads and take care of its, you know, parks and everything. I think we, to our detriment, rely on these out-of-state companies for anything, really, you know. When we had company towns, these were mills that were capital intensive, and they stayed. They couldn't go anywhere. You know, they really couldn't go anywhere. So, of course, there was this loyalty and there were good jobs. I think we need to create a way to support the folks who are already here and to help them expand and diversify if need be and so on.
That concludes the first half of my interview with Lynn Williams. Tune in next Monday for the second half when we find out what Ms. Williams thinks about the state in general and particularly about those of us north of Bangor.